In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to our Ignatian Spiritual Exercises program online. I'd like to start this morning with a biblical verse. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Once again, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. So let's start off by singing together, because every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is truly risen from the dead. Every time we celebrate Sunday, which is the day of the Lord. So I'd like to start off this day in a very joyful note with all of you as I like to sing. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Let us be glad, let us be glad and rejoice in it, and rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Sing along with me if you can. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Let us be glad. Let us be glad and rejoice in it, and rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So let's invite my friends, the spiritual director, to be with us. The spiritual director is not Father Broome. And St. Ignatius, at least secondarily, but the spiritual director of these exercises is the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, welcome. We have an image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart, that's with us today. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. And we've invited once again the great Saint Ignatius of Loyola to be with us in these spiritual exercises. I started the exercises program online actually on March 25th, which is the Annunciation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Archangel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would be the Mother of God. And Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that was our first meditation contemplation, and it was that of the Blessed Virgin Mary as our way to the Father, our way to Jesus. Mary is the quickest, the shortest, the easiest path. So these exercises were given to us through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Following day, we had a meditation on the Good Shepherd. And I gave you two verses. Psalm 23, which is the most famous psalm in the Bible, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Whom shall I want? And then we gave you John chapter 10, which is a parallel to that, in which Jesus himself says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Then the day after that, we gave you a meditation upon the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. And what I did was each of the eight Beatitudes, I gave you an explanation of what it means spiritually. Then I gave you how one of the saints was able to put into practice one of those eight Beatitudes. And I said also that Pope John Paul II said that if we want to see a mirror into the heart of Jesus Christ, we have here, we see it by means of the Beatitudes that Jesus preached and he lived. And then we entered formally, those were like three warm-up spiritual exercises. And I said yesterday when I was lifting the weights for you, the dumbbells, is that as we develop strong muscles by lifting weights, so we're able to build strong spiritual muscles by doing our spiritual exercises. And we told you that our program online is somewhat like the program they set up in Hawaiian Gardens. It's a tripod consisting of three points. One is the conference that I'll be giving you in English every day at 11:30. And then you have your holy hour, which we call the hour of power. You have to find a time, hopefully early, a place where there's silence, and a method, the Lectio Divina that we've explained to you, Lectio, Meditatio, Contemplatio, Oratio, Actio, a Transformatio, by now you have those Latin words memorized as a method by which you can enter into this dialogue with the Lord. Then the third part of our exercises program, this annotation 19 adaptation of the exercises, is find some type of sharing. Now, easier said than done. And they give you various options. One would be if you're acquainted with Zoom or Skype, in which you could have like a webinar with a group of friends, great. Some of you might be cognizant of that and able to set that up. Not that it's obligatory, but you know, in our program, we like to have group sharing. Maybe choose one that's going to be the facilitator. And if you got five, you know, each one can share maybe 5 to 10 minutes. We're not in a hurry. And you're sharing the fruits of your meditations. And every time you share your fruit, it's an act of charity because you're enriching the others by what you've shared. Everything that you share is very important. It's the way that God has spoken to you. Then another way could be you can call your spiritual director. Already I'm aware of someone that's already called her spiritual director and is going through the exercise online with her, which is very, very good. Then another could be your family. Say, for example, you and your husband are on the same wavelength. Both of you are meditating, maybe have an adult son or daughter. The three of you, four of you can sit down at the table, maybe even at having a cup of coffee, and you can each share how God spoke to you. And the last that occurred to me just 2 days ago would be this. Many of you have spiritual friends that are on the same wavelength as you are. So there's no reason why you can't call on the phone, and you can even do FaceTime if you want, or Skype, whatever you like, call on the phone, and you share your meditation with your friend, and your friend can share his or her meditation with you. So that's the protocol, my friends. And I know that it's difficult because we've never been in this situation before, but let's try to take advantage of the situation. I'm trying to use all the means possible to preach the Word of God. Today I gave a confirmation class online to the confirmation students, and I said Mass for them at 10 o'clock. So even though we're in somewhat strange circumstances, for those who love God, everything works together for the good. And the St. Paul says, I became all things to all men so as to win many for Christ. So be kind of like a chameleon. You know, a chameleon changes the color of his skin according to the texture of the ground. Pray for the grace of adaptability. You're able to adapt according to the circumstances in which you find yourself. Yesterday I gave you, okay, so there we have it. Yesterday we entered into the text of principle and foundation in the text of St. Ignatius, and we did this. We gave you the first phrase of principle and foundation, and you meditate upon one point of that, and then we're going to be developing another one today. Ignatius gives us our raison d'être. Ignatius gives us our reason for being. We all have a philosophical foundation on which our lives are predicated or built. We all have a philosophy. Many have false philosophies. For example, the person that's a materialist, that is a philosophy of life, but it's a false philosophy. Because the materialist, he bases his life upon material things, upon buying, consuming, having, storing up, sometimes hoarding. In other words, his life is based on what he has. Well, John Paul II says, being is more important than having. And doing flows from being. That's John Paul II. Kind of a mini philosophical principle and foundation. I repeat, being is more important than having. And doing flows from who we are. That's pure John Paul II, which will be a philosophical, theological way of articulating principle and foundation. And I gave you some kind of colorful images to show how so many people are confused because they don't know who they are, they don't know where they came from, they don't know where they're heading, they don't know what the purpose of life is. They're kind of like on a merry-go-round. They're kind of like a chicken with its head cut off. They're kind of like a sailor in the midst of the sea, and he doesn't know where the port is. Kind of like a Boy Scout that finds himself in the forest and he doesn't have a compass. Kind of like an archer that's shooting the arrow, but there's no target. Kind of like a dog that we had, we called him a psicopata, a psychopath, who would be running after his tail. Woof, 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 woof. Running after his tail, trying to grab onto his tail. We're kind of like a driver in his car that has no GPS. He wants to end up in San Diego. He ends up in San Francisco because he read his map backwards. There are many people, and you probably know them. Maybe they were you before you did the exercises, before you went through a conversion. They're basically running after shadows. They're living in caves. They're surrounded by mist. In other words, they don't really know where they are, and as a consequence, they're pursuing one pleasure after another pleasure, which causes only more sadness and even depression. So we know why we're here. So I'm going to be constantly reminding you of the importance of your existence. We know why we're here. We know where we come from. We know where we're heading. We know how to get there. We know the tools or the means that we have to use so that we can arrive at our final destiny. And what is that? We are created. We are created by God to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our immortal soul. So I'd like to repeat that. We are created by God to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our souls, so that we would end up in our eternal destiny, which is heaven. So we're going to be spending, my friends, a couple of days on that short philosophical, theological, foundational principle that is called principle and foundation. We do not have a spiritual identity crisis. We know who God is, who we are, and where we're heading, and what are the means that we have to use. And by the way, doing these spiritual exercises is a very powerful means by which we can arrive at our final destiny, which is heaven. So, yesterday we spoke about creation, and I mentioned what really seems to captivate me in creation. And I ask you to meditate upon that also. In creation, what is that element of creation that seems to captivate you most? And don't forget, as I said, creation is not God, but rather, creation is a reflection of the beauty of the Creator. If we said that we're worshiping creation, that would be a type of heresy called pantheism. On the contrary, we worship God, but we can arrive at God through the beauty of creation. I say we can arrive at God through the beauty of creation. So creation should be like a ladder by which we climb up to arrive at the Creator. In all of the world, God created everything. And to create means to bring into existence something out of nothing. That's the catechetical definition. So something doesn't exist, and God goes like that, and it exists right away. That's the nature of what the creative act is. So, God is the Creator. Everything in the world, He created out of love for you and for me. How good God is. As the founder of the Oblates said, how good God is, and how we should seek God, His goodness, reflected in creation. How good God is, and how God should be reflected in His creation. And I mentioned to all of you what really seemed to captivate me in creation, and there's a lot out there, is I am really captivated by the sun. You remember what I said is that the sun makes me think about the Son of God. Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. And I said that as the sun rises, it makes me think about Jesus who rose from the dead. And every time we come to Sunday, Sunday is the day of the Lord in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then I gave you a colorful, somewhat poetic image of flowers. I said I really love the rose. The rose because the poet Dante, who wrote the Divine Comedy, he presents, as Dante ascends with Saint Bernard higher and higher in the realms of heaven, before he arrives at the Blessed Trinity, he contemplates this beautiful Rosa Mystica. And that Rosa Mystica is the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's one of the beautiful titles in the litany of Mary. She's the Rosa Mystica. And beyond the Rosa Mystica, you've got the Trinity. So, but I spent also some time on the beauty of that flower, which I really like. I like the sunflower. Because the sunflower responds to sun. In Spanish, the word sunflower is girasol, which means turn toward the sun. And if you want to deprive the sunflower of life, then place the sunflower in the basement. Place the sunflower in a dark place. Place the sunflower where it's not exposed to light, and eventually it's going to wither up and die. And they said, using my poetic flair, my mystical poetic flair, is that all of us are called to be, we're all called to be human sunflowers, that we will blossom and flourish, and we'll emanate the fragrance of virtue in as much as we are close to Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Literary license, S-U-N. He's the Son of God. So that's what I did. So what I'd like to do today, it's a follow-up of Man is Created. I'd like to speak to you about the dignity of the human person, as well as the destiny of the human person. Okay? You got the two D's. The dignity of the human person, but I also like to speak to you about the destiny of the human person. And this all stems from the fact that God has great love for all of humanity, but God has great love for you and for me. Great love. Because God created us in His image and likeness. Now what does that mean, being created in the image and likeness of God? Simply this, that we have an intellect and we have a will and we have a soul. God is the essence of truth, intellect, will. God is the essence of love. And soul, God is spirit. And where the spirit is, there's life. But I'd like to expound upon this even more. So on a human level, you and I, we were created in the image and likeness of God. And of all of creation, the mountains, the air, the sea, the fish, the animals, the majestic mountains, the sunrise, the sunset, the dew, the snow, the flowers decking the fields, all the beauty you have in creation, as you're meditating upon yesterday in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, pales in comparison to the human person. But we have two lives, two levels. We have the natural life and we have the supernatural life. Well, up to this point, I've been speaking about natural creation. But I'd like to jump into a more profound truth, and it's our supernatural life. Our supernatural life. So let's speak about that now. What does this mean, supernatural life? It means our life is not living on a natural plane, but living on a higher plane, a supernatural plane. What does it mean? It means this. Recognize you who you are as a human person, but who you became when you were baptized. Let's talk about that. And you might spend some time today praising God, because that's what the topic is today, praising God. Man is called, man and woman is created to praise God. So you want to praise God for all the gifts that he's given you on a human plane, but all the gifts he's given you on a supernatural plane. Remember once when I was a kid there in New York, must have been 7 or 8 years old, I was sitting on the lawn after my father cut the grass. It was a summer evening, maybe about 7:38. And I was just sitting on the grass, kind of enjoying the smell of fresh cut grass. And then one of the neighbors had a dog that was barking, and my mom had her flowers and her tomatoes. I was kind of enjoying nature. And I had in my hand a rock. And I connected that with a very famous song of the late 60s. And it was, "I am a rock and you're an island." Probably some of you of my age remember that was from the rock and roll group Simon and Garfunkel. And I was thinking, I'm not a rock. I'm not an island. I'm not the grass that I'm sitting on. I'm not that dog that's barking over there. I'm not the sunflower. I'm not the tomato. But rather, I am a human person. But even more so, I was baptized. Actually, March 25th, when we started our spiritual exercises program, it was my birthday. It was my birthday. Some of you are thinking, well, no, Father, you were born on February 29th. You just turned 16. True, but all of us have a supernatural birthday. So I was actually born on March 25th, which is the feast day of the Annunciation. So you might even sometime today thank and praise God. That's what we're supposed to be doing today. Man is created to praise God. You might praise God. You might praise God for the fact that he created you in his image and likeness, and he gave you the gift of baptism. You might even do this. Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before you. So you might even sing, Holy God, we praise thy name, which we sing in our church after we've given the blessing of Jesus present in the most blessed sacrament, the altar. Or you might even praise God by making a spiritual communion enter into your heart and praising God who lives within your heart. So, talking about baptism and going back to your baptism and breaking out with this attitude of gratitude, of thanksgiving and praise, you might do this. Call to mind all of the abundant graces that you received when you were baptized. That's incredible. Call to mind all of the abundant graces that God gave to you on the day of your baptism. And there are so many, so many. So you might even write out a litany of praise and thanks to God for the many graces that he gave to you on the day of your baptism. So you ready? This could be a litany of thanksgiving and a litany of praise that you want to render to God. You know, my friends, praise and thanksgiving go together. They go together. Here's maybe a tricky theological question for you Sunday morning. What do you have that was not given to you by God? I repeat, what do you have that was not given to you by God? Only one thing. Our sins. That's the only thing that you have and I have that God did not give to us. Our sins. We chose our sins. But aside from that, our natural life, the air we breathe, the soul we have, our memory, our understanding, our imagination, our will, everything that we have, the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the friends that we share life with, the home that we live in, even what's going on now, everything that we have is a pure gift from God, whose nature is goodness, generosity, and giving. So, let's go for it. What about the gifts that God has given to us in baptism? Let's go through the list. First, when we're baptized, and the priest or deacon or bishop poured water on our head, and he said, John, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. First gift, original sin was washed away. Yes. We're basically born dead. We're born dead on a natural plane. So through the waters of baptism, we're given supernatural life. If you participated at Mass today online, you encounter Jesus who goes to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus was dead and buried in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus with Martha and Mary. He goes and tells them to remove the stone. And then Jesus says in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man that was dead came out of the tomb and he was given to his sisters. So in a certain sense, when we're baptized, we have a Lazarus experience. We go from a natural state of being dead to a supernatural state of being alive through baptism, washing away original sin. Next, through baptism, we enter into a relationship, a personal relationship with the three most important persons in the world, in the universe. Who would they be? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's right. That's right. Soon as you're baptized, you enter into a deep, personal, unique, intimate, profound, loving relationship with the triune God. God is not far from us. No, he's not. God is not far from us. And as the Greek poet says, in him we live and move and have our being. And as the poet says, if I go to the heights of the mountain, God is there. If I go to the depths of the sea, God is there. Even in the darkest hours of night, God sees us as if it were midday. That's one of the Psalms. Beautiful, mystical poetry that comes from the Psalms. So let's stop and talk about that. You are called to praise God. You're called to praise God. And how can you praise God? Go back to your baptism and recognize that you receive the blessed Trinity in the very depths of your soul. What does that mean? Through baptism, you enter into a personal and deep relationship with the Father. You truly are, through baptism, a son or daughter of God. Adopted, true, because only Jesus is the natural son of God the Father. But we're adopted through baptism. What about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Through baptism, you entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he became your brother. So if anyone asks you, do you have an older brother? I can say, yes, I have an older brother, Michael, who's in Orlando, Florida, as an orthopedic surgeon. But I have another older brother. My older brother, my elder brother, is Jesus Christ. It's true. Jesus Christ is truly your brother. This is not a metaphor. This is not pie-in-the-sky idealism. This is not wishful thinking. This is not simply a cliche or a pious platitude. Jesus Christ is truly your brother. And as a brother, he cares for you. Then what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is, as we pray in the sequence, the sweet guest of the soul, but also the Holy Spirit. But also the Holy Spirit is your best friend. He is. He's your best friend. So, baptism transforms you into a son or daughter of God, a friend to Jesus Christ, and I'm sorry, brother to Jesus Christ, and a friend to the Holy Spirit. So every time you make the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, every time you make the sign of the cross, then you're calling to mind your dignity, that you are truly a son of the living God. How good God is. How good God is. Well, we're just warming up. What else do we receive when we're baptized? My friends, we receive just a whole number of wonderful gifts. So let's mention them. Gifts. You receive the three theological virtues. Do you know what are the three theological virtues? They are faith and hope and love or charity. So as soon as you're baptized, those three theological virtues or gifts were infused in your soul. Do you ever think about that? Faith, hope, and charity. All of this is related to Prince Mon Foundation. We are created to praise God, also to thank God. To thank God that you don't have the stain of original sin. To thank God that you are a son of God. To thank God that you are a brother to Jesus Christ. To thank God that you are a friend of the Holy Spirit. What dignity you have. There was a great pope. His name was Saint Leo the 13th, that made this comment. One of the primary reasons why we sin is that we forget about our dignity. And I would also say our destiny. Those two things. We forget about our dignity, who we really are by being born, but who we really are by being born anew through the waters of the sacrament of baptism. What is faith? My friends, through baptism, faith is this. We have the gift of believing God without seeing God. Because if we see God, it's no longer faith. Do you remember St. Thomas? After Jesus rose from the dead, the apostles had seen Jesus. Thomas the doubter said, I won't believe until I put my hands, my fingers in his nail marks, in his feet, and in his side. And then Jesus appeared. Later on, Thomas was there. And Jesus gently rebuked Thomas and said, come here. He said to Thomas, put your hands in my hands, in my side. Cease to doubt. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He made a great act of faith, which can be part of your prayer today. My Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, blessed are those who see, who believe rather, without seeing. And that's what faith is. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. That's the theological virtue of faith. All of this, my friends, comes as a result of receiving the sacrament of baptism. How good God is that he bestows upon us so many graces. How about the virtue of hope? Virtue of hope isn't, I hope so. I hope so, as we say in common American English jargon, I hope so. It's really not that. You know what the virtue of hope is? It's related to trust. It's related to the divine mercy image that I think many of you have. You happen to have a portrait of this. This is really in flesh. This is really what you're looking at right now. This is the virtue of hope. And you see below, it's written near the feet of Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. So every time you're assaulted with some type of doubt, you have to marshal forth the virtue of hope that was infused in the depths of your soul in the very moment of your baptism. So hope is related to trust. Trusting in Jesus' love for you. Trusting in divine providence. Trusting that Jesus will watch over you. Trusting that Jesus has you in the very palm of his hand. Trust. You know, I think there's a real issue there today, maybe because of the coronavirus, maybe because the doors of the church are closed, maybe because you can't receive the sacraments as you'd like to receive the sacraments, maybe because you can't receive the Eucharist, maybe because you can't go to confession, maybe because, you know, the economic situation is somewhat of a trial today. All of these are trials. And what God is really asking you and asking me is to have hope, to have trust. And then the last theological virtue. The last theological virtue is that of charity, which means supernatural love. My friends, what are we talking about? Some of you have logged in right now. What I'm doing, Father Broom, I'm giving you the exercises online, which is a golden opportunity for us to make a retreat in the very quiet of your house. Think about this. If you had to go to a retreat house, you'd have to ask permission of your boss, 8-day retreat, say. You'd have to ask permission of your boss. You'd have to ask the permission of your wife or husband. You'd have to ask, see if your children were going to be watched over. You would have to find the retreat house, the retreat schedule. You'd have to pay for your room and for the meal in the retreat house. Look at that. God is so good that he's allowed you to make a retreat in the quiet of your own home. Hopefully it's quiet, okay? Hopefully it's quiet. But how good God is. So take advantage of this situation to, as Pope Francis said, not to be lazy, not to waste time, not to be morose, not to be depressed, not to be discouraged, but take advantage of this imposed retreat that your home is a monastery. Your home is a cloister. Your home is not a prison. It's not Alcatraz. Don't see it that way. But rather see your home as a place now where you can get closer and closer to God. So let's go back to that theological virtue. The theological virtue of faith, hope, and charity. What is charity? What I'm saying, all these theological virtues are infused in your soul at the very moment that you're baptized. How good God is. Now, charity is this. It's supernatural love. It's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. Someone asked Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus quoted the great Shema of the Old Testament. He quoted the great Shema, but added a little bit more. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus added this, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, then to love your neighbor as yourself. My friends, that's what is the theological virtue of charity. Soon as you're baptized, that seed is planted within the very depths of the garden of your soul, and you're given the ability to love God fully and totally. Of course, this has to be cultivated. It's like, as we said once again, the virtues have to be exercised. I showed you yesterday, I was lifting those dead weights, those dumbbells. I mean, if I keep you doing that time and time again, I'll be cultivating muscle. So we're doing spiritual exercises, and we're called to do our holy hour so that we can develop these spiritual muscles. My friends, there's much more that can be said about the graces that come from baptism, but I would like to move into the second day of the exercises. And by the way, you can all get the electronic copy of these exercises, okay? LoveGodSaveSouls.com. And if you call our secretary, Veronica, she'll be able to send you online these spiritual exercises. So yesterday, you got the spiritual exercises of day one, which is principle and foundation, in which you were called to meditate upon Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Whereas today, you're going to be meditating upon, you can go back and do a repetition if you want, because Genesis 1 and 2, there's so much in that, and I invited all of you to try to ask the Lord, what in nature is that which captivates you most? No? What captivates you most in nature? I heard someone online was captivated by water and by the rain. The rain, and I thought about the rain as another beautiful image of nature, because when I think about rain, my friends, I think about various things. One is the rain coming down. Is God weeping? God is weeping from heaven because there's so many people that don't think about God. So many people that have caved in on themselves. So many people who have given into selfishness. So many people that have pushed God aside. So many people that are, as teachers, teaching children that God is just a myth. God is just a concoction, a fable of the Middle Ages. So I see the rain coming down. Is God weeping? But then I see the rain descending from heaven. I see Mary, the full of grace. Every time we say, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, then Mary sends from heaven a torrential downpour of grace into our souls so that those seeds of faith, hope, and charity that have been planted within our souls can grow and they can flourish and they can blossom and they can radiate the fragrance. As St. Paul says, that we are called to be the fragrance of Christ. Yes, we are called to be the fragrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's talk then about the next couple minutes about praise. And your meditations, and here's the sheet you're going to be getting online. You're going to be meditating on, I think you can see it there, meditation, read Psalms 148, 149, and 150, okay? Psalms 148, 149, and 150. Why those Psalms? Because those last three Psalms in the Bible. The Bible has 150 Psalms. Many of the Psalms are Psalms of praise. And we as priests and religious, we pray the 150 Psalms every 4 weeks, every month. We go through the whole Psalter as part of our prayer for the church. But those Psalms I've given to you so that you can be praying with the psalmist and you can be praising God. The psalmist will praise God with all of his heart, all of his mind, with all of his will, and you're called to unite yourself with him. Praise, my friends, is the highest form of prayer. Of all the different forms of prayer, praise is the highest. Once you get to heaven, you know there are many angels in heaven, and you might even do this. Ask your guardian angel to help you to praise God. Ask Saint Michael the Archangel to help you to praise God. Ask the Archangel Raphael to help you to praise God. Ask the Archangel Saint Michael to help you to praise God. Ask the choirs of angels, the angels, the archangels, the virtues, the powers, the dominations, the powers, and then, my friends, the cherubim and the seraphim are two choirs of angels in heaven. When I say choir, it doesn't mean a choir that's singing Mass on Sunday. It's not that. But as Thomas Aquinas had divided the angels into different categories, arriving at the most sublime and high angels would be the cherubim and the seraphim. What are they doing? They're doing this. You can even use this as one of your prayers of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So I've given you the three Psalms, Psalm 148, 149, and 150. And now I've given you a part of the Mass And tomorrow in one of our, in our presentation, we're going to be talking more about praise. But of course, on earth, the greatest way that you can praise God is by participating fully, actively, consciously, totally, in the greatest prayer. And I think all of you know what is the greatest prayer in the whole universe. The whole greatest prayer in the whole universe is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Praise. So beg the angels to help you to praise God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This also could be of great help to you. Many of the saints were called to praise God. What I'd like to do is just to pray with you one of the prayers of praise of one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. And I'm just going to be praying with you a couple of the verses. And it's the Canticle of Brother, Sun, and Sister Moon by St. Francis of Assisi. According to many, the first poem in the Italian language, which was composed by one of the greatest saints. Probably know that St. Francis spent time in nature, and he would go out in nature, and he'd be praising Mother, Brother, Sun, and Moon. And here's just a couple of verses from it. He says, Most High, all-powerful, all-good Lord, all praise is yours, all glory, all honor, and all blessings. To you alone, Most High, do they belong, and no mortal lips are worthy to pronounce your name. And he goes on to say, Praise be to you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars. In the heavens, you made them bright, precious and fair. Praise be to you, my Lord, through Brother Wind and Air, and fair and stormy, all weather's moods by which you cherish all that you have made. Praise be to you, Lord, through Sister Water, so useful, humble, precious, and pure. How beautiful. That's taken from St. Francis of Assisi, one of the greatest saints in our Catholic Church. So, my friends, we've come to the conclusion of our wonderful conversation today. And I, this evening, will be celebrating Mass at 4 o'clock. I will be placing all of you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I will be praying for all of you. I'll be praying for you that all of you will be very generous with God, because God is ready to give you so many graces. Be generous with God. Open up your heart to God's love. Open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. Open up your heart through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Open up your heart, because God has many, many graces in store with you. And remember the Blessed Virgin Mary, her canticle of praise. Mary, in the Magnificat, and this will be part of the handout, Mary said, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Let's sing that. My soul, you should sing and praise that song in the depths of your heart. And I'd like to end by, once again, singing a hymn of praise. Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter claim. All in heaven above adore thee. Infinite thy vast domain. So there's a beautiful closing hymn that we say after you receive the blessing of the Blessed Sacrament. So, my friends, May God bless you. And I invite all of you to be generous with the spiritual exercises. Invite other people that they might be able to participate with this wonderful program. And I think that these could be among the most blessed days in your whole life. So let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us to be really generous with God. And I'll give you my priestly blessing today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's praise the Blessed Trinity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow at 11:30.